Yes. Yes. Yeah. Tú no te mira leve de chingera tu ni gobres con tu Samsung de den tun chi kapte da gishla pipi jela kapni padere.
Less to do touch it up. Less to each silicare. In English,
we say karma, but when I translate again, often I say action.
Yeah, so she thought less to do all that. I'm doing less to this. Semju semba chik shau homa rwa semju semba chik de tsre pe kulung chi de dewa chi rwa
no
kulung chi de dewa chi ne ane kulwar chi be semba ta kulwar chi be semba chi la le sigor ba ta
Okay, so we have this term action or karma, and it links, and if you're going to say where that's with the mind factor of intention, because it comes back to this connection with our motivation. And so when you think that action is linked to your motivation, then that kind of leads you to this mental factor of intention.
Okay.
I don't know how well that does in English. So if we're generally talking about karma, action, then in Tibetan you have that of intention and literally that of thought. So the action of intention simply refers to the mental karma that is created because you have the motivation, the intention to do something. Whereas the action of thought is when it then engages in one's physical action or verbal speech.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's in that simple arisal of the motivation to do something, you have accumulated a karma. In the second instant of that, or accumulated an action. In the second instant of that, there is an imprint that is placed on the mind, and it is that imprint that remains. So because there is that imprint on the mind, then that is how that karmic imprint will go with us through many, many lifetimes. That whether you're talking about the imprint, the continuity of that over lifetimes you have a continuity of consciousness, or you talk about the mere I, that the aspect is that there is that karmic imprint on the mind which then goes with one from lifetime to lifetime.
Mm.
Okay. Yeah. So the easiest way of thinking of it is thinking that whether we see it, that our mind or our consciousness that goes from lifetime to lifetime with that is the karmic imprints that have been placed on the mind.
To say, so when I explaining, you know, different
characteristics.
When I speaking different things mean different. At the moment, I talked about karma, how it related with consciousness. Yeah. So then now I'm going other stage. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you have a question this time, maybe. So I may explain a little bit about that. If you have some question, you know, when I'm speaking.
So Gifts is saying that he's going to go on to a different aspect of karma. If there's anything you want to clarify about the imprints,
this might be too big a question, and you may answer it another way later, but when you were talking about the imprints that are made, the actual thought, when you accumulate karma in this life, if you want to maybe, you know, it's already happened and you want to change or undo or unwanted karmic action, is it possible in this lifetime to change that karmic action by other action? To change the imprint of it coming through?
Change the imprint or not?
Yeah, so for instance now, if there was karma I accumulated in this lifetime, if I wanted to address that and fix that before going, if I didn't want that particular karmic imprint,
mm-hmm. So we're talking about the karmic imprint. Can you change it?
Yeah.
So the bachali, the
of course.
Yes.
Of course, you can change. For example, if you created, for example, negative karma. And then you realize that you understand that, oh, I done something wrong, and then you regret that action, and then you promise or you determine and not to do these things again, something like that, and you do some prayer or other worship things in order to
purify.
Purify the karma. So then it makes change your imprint. That can change imprint.
So regret and purify.
Regret. Determining not to create in the future, purifying through virtuous action, and refuge. And cultivating refuge in bodhicitta, the combination.
For
opponent.
So this is changing your impact. Impact is negative karma's impact. You can change it.
Change it, that's good.
Change to the
positive. And you would be able to say which
change to the positive. Huh?
And to know what to do to purify, that would be coming to your Lama for advice, your teacher, for advice on the kind of prayers or
different prayers. The Lama Chik. You don't have to specifically ask what should be done for something. In general, you whatever virtue you do can be directed to purify that, and then the main points out of those are one's regret for the action and determination to turn away.
Yeah. Mm. I was just thinking about with people that you're counselling, you talk about the same sort of thing, which is that you've done this action, and so you have an imprint, and so the opposite way to clear that action is to repeatedly do the opposite and regret it again and again and again, and then it's clear. So is this a bit the same, like you have to kind of repeat this process in order for you to really clear the imprint, because you clean it out by the thought process of that repetitive?
Okay, so when you're purifying something, is that process done once enough, or do you have to do it again and again to clear it?
Yeah, and also what comes to my mind when you talk about imprints is that they're quite sticky, you know, so they might need more than just a one.
They bachala mewazua, the nimble katsuchi gurus, tengchik chenan.
So this is, you see. So it depends on that imprint strong or weak, you know. So if you create it, you know, small imprint, maybe then you can do the antidote small.
Easily.
As few things are, if you kind of created or committed, it's a strong, big brand, big imprint, then maybe you have to do more again and again. Actually, when we do the antidote, then the karma would become smaller, or thinner. It's not changing immediately to positive karma. Is it?
My question is, so we say it's the action of a thought, but sometimes we are not aware when the thought arrives. It's kind of just passing by. So, I mean, how, and also sometimes the imprint, the reason we have that thought is maybe from the previous imprint. But when the thought arrives, or when the thought arises in our mind, we may or may not be aware of it, depending on our practice for sure. So I mean, how do we if as soon as the thought arises in our mind, then the imprint is there or becomes stronger, then we'll be terribly busy. Regret every minute.
The sembishana guys in a ngansu So maybe, hang on, we should clarify this first, because you've said any thought arises, but when I'm just saying it to Geshe-la, it is the intention.
Right.
So let's just clarify whether any thought is a karma creating moment, or whether it is a specific intention.
Yeah.
And Janet, the indicates. Thought Ganzot mumble shagarwa. Big Ganga Sempa Remare Sembi Sampa Shalyadid Dan Namto Namanazo Shalyadid Dan Sempa Legis Sempi Lady Kipper Dus Chikbares. Yes, I do. The difference between just the different thoughts that arise in our mind and the mental factor of intention.
You can't say, you know, whatever you thought, this is karma.
Yeah.
You know, this thought, many things can be, but also the karma, you know, karma, karma, creating karma also.
Creating karma.
Karma. Less adivarata, sambatam marva.
Yeah, so it's not just the mere arisal of thought. It is having thought of something, then you start thinking, oh, if I did that thing, I would get some benefit, or I should do this and I should do that. So it actually moves from just a passing thought to an intention too. Then you get the accumulation of karma.
So if, just another point there, so if I had this thought that this person was annoying me, that wouldn't be a karma kampa.
All right.
But I didn't act on it, or I didn't take it any further. I thought, oh, this isn't a good thought, I'll stop right now.
Okay.
It's getting...
All right. Sharon Patrick Nanson, there's also Semba Shalya de Pacho Giminga des Sim Trugados. You know, yin yang kayam ma che, then dana de nulin che samba tani me, de pachogi mi ginga sim trusa de gumare de jajana, le sagre, le sagamare. Sim that's annoy. Sim that's sim makibu that's che yu. You know, jimba kaya machewa. Nulengi samba tsani me. Danka, dankari, you know, samba mache. Hakaruna jajana. Yeah, so if you just thought that and that was the end of the story, you would not accumulate a karma.
Thank you.
I was going to say, am I right in thinking that it's the thing of getting caught which makes a difference? So if you just think, you know, oh, that person's irritating, but you're not, but there's no energy behind it, then that does make any difference. But if you think that person's really irritating, I'm really angry with them, I'm really pissed off with them, you know, they've really spoilt my day. As soon as you get caught in it and hooked in it and gone with it, that's...
Okay.
Then that's where it starts to come into karma.
Okay. Then in Panyabade, Pacho Gimme Susu Sim Makibuchea, the Yangyur Yangcho Samutana Midi Nga Nuba Cheso Nga Di Midi Gisho Kontro Langi Yu, the Sim Das Sim Makibu Sim Des Kontro Rigshana, the Kable Sagarwe. Yeah, so if it got to the point where you're getting angry with that person, then you will have accumulated karma. Yeah, because with that anger you end up getting to the point of thinking, what do I need to do, what am I going to do to that person, and it's starting to become... And so then your action becomes motivated by anger, so you are accumulating karma motivated by...
It could be frustration, it could be anything,
it's
just the getting
caught. Yeah, I mean, in Tibetan, kind of all that disturbed mind would group under anger, because you're not attached to the person, it's not neutral, you're getting irritated and... Yeah. And Yeah, because then that irritated, it becomes an aspect of anger, of an angry mind, and then that starts to motivate you to think that you need to do something or say something or motivate other things. Yeah.
Sorry. When we die, our brain dies, dissolves. So I'm curious to what it is that carries the imprint across to the next lifetime.
Okay, so the physical brain is no longer active. So what is carrying the imprint
to the next lifetime?
Okay,
it's not the whole. I don't think the whole mind. Well, that's the question, really. What, you know? Can you clarify what?
Okay. Kia ora, kia ora, kare re sigdos kains ina lepa. Yeah, so the brain is left behind. So this brings us to mind. So we would say the mind goes, which is not the brain. So this is not a physical entity. No. Okay, so most scientific view at this time thinks that the mind is either an aspect of the physical brain or a result of our physical brain. But that is not a view that Buddhism would assert. Mind is not physical matter, but it does have a temporary relationship with the physical matter of our body.
Would it be, in a Christian view then, something like spirit?
It gets tricky, to be honest, because they don't have definitions for these things. And so you have these English words that actually you can't match them up because they actually don't define them. Like a lot of them are permanent and unchanging.
Soul.
Yeah, souls are often permanent entities, and so it doesn't.
Same between two languages, within the Māori language and the English language, a lot of problems arose because there weren't words to explain in English the concept or the philosophy or the thinking of the Māori
language.
I see it as a similar thing. Our language doesn't have necessarily words because perhaps it's not it's a foreign kind of.
Well, we have words, but we don't define them. And so if you say, is that the same as, it becomes very difficult because you can't actually go back and say, what is this really, this thing?
Mm. Do you feel it quite strongly? I know it's something I do. It's more of it's a funny thing to say, I suppose, but it's sort of more of a gut feeling. It's more like you can have a sense of it, but it's very hard to actually explain what that is because it is, but it's very powerful, so it seems very
real. To have a sense of it, but then say that this is it is quite, again, quite different because we sense lots of things. So nado indicate the sigmon budo spirit down soul down yinandis namshila chikwares yinus dang this kalikabudo
soul.
So you know the kazaki sim crow nation you know the takpa yimbano that's kalikabudu the jason but if I can explain, because geshlist is in Tibetan, they have a term which is sok, which means life force. And so the life force stops when death occurs. And he was wondering whether that's like soul.
Yeah.
But soul is more like a permanent entity. That is the subtle mind. It's like subtle, but it's permanent generally. We think of it as a permanent being. So you get into trouble saying it's a subtle mind, because subtle mind is not permanent.
What was that word again? Is it life force?
Life force. Life force.
What was the
Tibetan word for that? Sok. Sok. T-S-O-G or T-S-O-K. So... yeah, so life force and mind are not the same thing. So heat, true? Yeah, so it's mind. So the life force and mind are not the same thing. That life, in terms of Buddhist thought on from the Abhidharma, how it explains it, is that heat acts as the basis for the residing of consciousness or mind. And so namshi dan tru nyam du tsokre. Namshi ki tru tensaki shi yana
des
so
namshi de so chef si ba so shi namshi da tru tensaki shi mi de da chef ba namshi ki wa chi ma ma do shi.
Okay, so yeah. So life and life force would be the same. The, if I've got this right, Geshe-la Nandi, mind and heat, the basis on which the mind and heat rely, when that is ended, then you have the ending of the life force or life. But the mind would then go on to the next life. So the mind is a non-material, it's not a material, it's not a physical, mind or consciousness. That His Holiness has been using, we used to use certain Tibetan words for consciousness and mind, but because I think with science it's been simpler, and His Holiness has been using mind. So mind goes on, but mind is not material, it's not physical matter. When the life force ends, and so the basis of the mind and heat is finished, that in that temporary relationship of that lifetime, the mind goes on with the imprints.
I want you to explain as if there were dominoes lined up, and each life, you know, a domino falls, it impacts on the other, but it's not, the domino itself doesn't stay, it's the energy through. Which is an interesting concept.
Right.
Just a kind of
right.
Yeah. Like a pattern or a blueprint.
The domino
doesn't pass on. Just the
energy.
Well, the physical body.
That's good.
Okay. All right. So that's good for you. Good.
The spirit and mind, are they the same?
Same.
Just
yeah. Yeah. That's true. So what do we mean by spirit in English? What does spirit mean when we say it? Sorry. Yeah, but what do we mean by spirit when we say it in English? What do we mean by spirit? No, no, not a ghost. There's a spirit to do with the mind. You mean like, is it like the entity of the inner entity? Yeah.
Sort of use the word spirit, but they don't use it in the context that.
No.
Then how they use soul is the same way that
us. Yeah. So it indicates like spirit. Mima yamba mari, the mima yamba sindandrawa spirit. The dun lokarwa. Yeah, that's why.
Don't worry, I don't
Do you think it's a little bit like when we say,
it's like an umbrella term.
Or a life or something.
Yeah.
The consciousness, it's the greater part of us, or the life force that's living us.
Yeah, spirit. Inji seni shedaman dan de seni da droshi gadan shedaman de de sok de draw dan chirtam nam shi de draw inan de mitapa dan de ri ketche yong mai ben a gyu machewa. The question was whether spirit was like spirit, indicates spirit, the namshi drawres. I guess you would have to namshi the tobamai, the searching rigba. Tobamai. Yumatun drawa, searching rigba, yumatua, tobamai, dan zuk pembomai. Okay, so what we might be best to say is what is meant with mind or consciousness in Buddhism is it is a continual stream of a clear and knowing mind. So it's a stream of unbroken moments of, it's not material, it's not matter, not physical material.
Continual stream of what, sorry?
Of unbroken moments of mind or consciousness. It's not material matter. Its quality is clear and knowing. Yeah, and it's, you don't have a physical contact because it's not material in that sense. So if that is the quality that you would mean by spirit.
Spirit's not physical. Spirit's definitely not physical.
Yeah.
It's not something
you
can see, or
yeah.
You can open the body up and see spirit in there.
Yeah.
But we know there's something there. We know there's something else there, other than
this
material, other physical stuff that we are.
So it would match in terms of just that sense of a mind that isn't physical matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
so
the problem is that spirit's a broad term,
yes,
in the Christian sense, whereas in Buddhism it's broken down into much more intricate levels of meaning and differences.
Yes,
and
that's why
really cross, you can't cross relate because one's an umbrella term, the other's far more.
Yeah. Yes, so that's why I kind of.
Yeah.
So this is, we go back to your question, is spirit the same as consciousness or mind in Buddhism? Those are the qualities that mind in Buddhism have, and if that's what you understand spirit to be, then yes, they would match.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Karen spirit, chilna NGK spirit, so yende is zukchen mayen. Nyan chifan kogudos te trashan trawa gyuma cheva dan de rig cheva chigmare. Chirtan zukchen mayen.
Okay. So now the same or the combination of the both?
You would have to be clear what, if you think of, if you want to match them, if you wanted to use them, you would have to think, okay, so these are the characteristics of what Buddhism means by mind. When I say spirit, that's what I'm meaning, those characteristics. And then you probably have to clarify every time.
I know.
That's a tricky thing.
Okay, so did that help?
Yeah,
going lifetime to lifetime?
Summarise it by saying that you've got to be careful because a habit of thinking can get ingrained.
Okay. And there goes this komshi. Komshi, komshi, there's zabza chego akarian sena sozo. Komshi gi wong chigjina karsus sozo. So a habit of thinking, you mean you have to be careful because a habit of thinking, like a harmful habit,
yeah,
as opposed to a positive habit.
Yeah.
Okay. Komshi, that's the zazo check, and komshi ngemba yena, the nua chewa chewa drogi you sigur with. The korang kirna ngatsu, korangi triwa tambu, kiwa ne kiwa drowa kariris. Kiwa ne kiwa drowa bakcha yu. bāshādhu kōmshī kōmshī shūkchewa yinā te kōmshī ngenpa yinā te kyōn yuwa Yes, habit, developing familiarity thing is something that we need to be, is an important factor, you would say, because whether it is virtuous, it is our habit that develops that pattern, or non-virtuous. So, yeah. Okay, so we brings us back to anger again, where familiarity becomes a really powerful thing, because previously we've talked about six causes for afflictive emotion, and one of them is familiarity. And you can see that some people, when they get angry, they quickly kind of verbally respond, saying, you know, harsh things, or harsh, sharp words and so on. And then if they don't understand, then they think when it's over that, you know, that's fine. But actually what they're developing is a pattern of familiarity, so that next time anger comes, the habit of verbally retaliating just happens much more easily. Do you need to open something? So familiarity is an important factor. And And that familiarity, if you're looking at that, you can also say this relates to previous lives, in that what we were familiar, karmic actions that we were familiar with in previous lives will appear in this life as actions that we feel very familiar with, and so we can keep following those patterns.
So before Geshe-la said that there are thoughts without intention, and I was wondering whether there is intention without thoughts. I tried to think about an example, but I couldn't. So I was wondering whether there would be intention without thoughts.
Okay. Geshe-la Nguma Samba Nantok Shalya De Semba Injiminji Gumai Semba Intention. Ngazo Samba Namna So Shal De Injiminji Semba Yin Sigamari. Re Yin Denet Moran Triwa Docho De Semba Samba Mena Semba Shal Gurwe.
Samba Kulu Mena.
Yeah, no. Samba mena gulong yu, the semba, intention, semba shall was. Samba mena semba shall gerwe.
Gulong mena.
No, gulong mena mari, samba. Samba mena semba gulong shall gerwe.
Samba mena gulong shall
gerwe. Without thought, intention would not arise.
Say that again.
Without thought, intention would not arise.
So I did
The motivation itself is a thought.
So they cannot be separated. But they are, they can be at some point because they are thoughts without intention.
But you can have, it's like, what is it? What are the Venn diagrams? You know, the categories? Thought. And within that is intention. But there is not. Remember Geshe-la, did Geshe-la do this with you?
The question?
No. If it is X, it is Y. If it Y is... Did you do those four pervasions? Geshe-la de Muji. Muji de Kwanchi de Selboche.
Four alternative.
So Semba dan Samba. Okay, so the four pervasions, because this might help, because it's a little bit like the diagrams. You can have, using X and Y, you have two alternatives. You have think, so you have something that is both X and Y, something that is neither X and Y, something that is X but not Y, and something that is Y but not X.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the two things are thought and intention.
Yes.
And Geshe-la said there are three points of, there would be three pervasions. So thought and intention. Okay, so you have something which can be both a thought and intention.
Yep.
Okay, so something that is thought but not intention is just, you know, something you recall to mind. It's just some recall, and that's a thought, but it's not intention.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have things which are neither, obviously.
Is it like stepping on a stick, not intending to, and not thinking about doing it?
Hang on, let's no, that's a step on. Can we complete this bit first? And then, so we've had something which is both, something which is thought but not intention. And then, nika mayimba karyan, you know. So you can say it's a table. That's neither thought nor intention. Any other phenomena, yeah.
Right.
And there are lots of examples for that. And then intention but not thought. Okay, so there is nothing that would fit the category. Yeah, there is nothing that would fit a category of intention which is not thought. Thought, yeah. Once you get intention, there is thought.
There's only three pervasions, not four.
The analysis is of four pervasions. The possibilities are four. Between those two things, there are only three pervasions that apply. Because there is nothing...
You mean it could be up to four?
Yeah. Yes. If you're working out the relation... It's a way of working out the relationship between different objects. And so only three things would apply, because that fourth pervasion is not applicable, because if you have intention, it is thought.
What about when you're when at the level of arahats,
mm-hmm.
when there's little or no thought going on, but there's still...
All right. So,
actions, you know,
all right. So let's get precise about when you're talking about an arhat. So are you going to, so arhat being like someone with a realization of emptiness.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
Okay.
That all that plus.
All that plus.
Or all that, you know, plus other stuff too. I don't know.
So I mean, are you talking about like a Buddha, or are you talking about? Are you? I'm just
a highly realized person or being, whether
all right. And so, out of meditative equipoise.
So when they're just kind of in their normal life. And they've got to the point where they're fighting their thoughts so much that there's very very little going on.
So first we should establish whether that is so. First we have to establish what is what.
Okay.
So. Jetob gikab.
Yeah.
the one power, you know, the you know the kanzajik thoba thosa. Jetogi kab ko semna la mambu shog dos mendos koran shower drop do de samba gugre mare de nashne. So if we use your term arhat in Geshe-la said you that there are two terms. One is Arya, which means a noble being, or in Tibetan Pawa, or an arhat, which is a drachomba. And he said they're quite different things. Okay, so probably the Arya is the general, like, highly realized being. So, but using arhat, which is a drachomba, it means someone who has abandoned afflictive emotion. So when that person is in meditative equipoise on emptiness, then only emptiness appears to their mind and no conventional phenomena.
So there would be no thought in that
situation. But in their post-meditative equipoise, so in their ordinary life when they are active, they would have thought and other, you know, compassion and love and so on arising in their mind. They would have thoughts arising. They just don't have afflictive emotion because they have abandoned afflictive emotion.
So they still have the, because I imagine that they would be, for a start, in equipoise all the time, whether they're acting in life or meditating, you know, that there's actually no separation between non-meditation.
Nyamshak dan jetop chikpa moran drachomba morangi samba drachomba la nyamshak dan jetop kibra me samso. There is. Yeah. So many arhats will be maintaining in a meditative equipoise, but there will be times when they arise from that, and there is a difference. So, for example, someone who became an arhat through the hearer's path, at a certain point when they are then going to engage in training in bodhicitta in the absence of a bodhisattva, then they will start accumulating merit and doing many things.
Okay, so it's a different kind of thought, isn't it? It's not, so for example, if you weren't at arahat level or operating from that place, then if I had the thought to make something for somebody because I thought that it would make me look good, that is different from me noticing, oh, that person doesn't have a blah blah blah, they really need a blah blah blah, I'll make them a blah blah blah.
So it's about
the intention that's behind it, isn't it, that makes the difference in where that thought comes from. There's a pure thought and there's an impure thought, you know. So
they. Alright, so they've abandoned afflictive emotion. So whether that person would have a thought.
So the thought would be a pure thought.
Yes.
So it you know,
it wouldn't be afflicted.
No.
Mm.
Rather than it being that.
There is no thought.
That there's no thought, you just act. you just make the thing without even really being conscious of what you're doing, you're just making it, there would still be a thought to make it be from a pure place.
Mm.
Yeah. It's almost like an idea to make something, isn't it? You don't have to think it, you know. It's not meditate, like, I will make that and they will like me. So it's more of a thought, whereas the other sort of more like an idea just arises.
Well, you would be motivated by compassion, and you have abandoned afflictive emotion, and you would be motivated by compassion, and yeah.
It seems to come from a different place.
Hmm.
But it's never ever completely thoughtless.
For Sambamena Drachomba, Zeva Drobdu Indiminji Samba Nangulong Gogurwes Drachompa Zeba the Shawa Drobdu or Jigdingi Shawa Drobdu cause of Gulong Gogure. Yeah. The Sangye Sangye Lokarwa.
Oh, Sangye Lokarwa. Mm.
Mm. Yeah, more on Sangye. Mm. Gomar, then Sangye Jetab Danyamsha Chikparwa. Okay, so for a Buddha does not require a thought, an intention thought to accomplish an action. A Buddha's meditative equipoise and post-meditation are the same.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So it begets.
At that point, you. Yeah.
Just because it is.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. We were talking about consciousness. Are we. Okay, are we good at this point to go on to the other next part of karma? Yeah. Okay. Le. Okay.
Maybe just a bit off.
Okay.
Since we're talking about mind, trying to relate this to ghost. What is a ghost? It's just a mind. Because it looks like it's a bit physical, but it's not physical.
Okay.
The way we present it. So
okay. All right. Me ma yimba. Me ma yimba gi kanzak karres gulos de namchi chikpore zuk chen yume. So there are ghosts without form.
Okay.
So Geshe-la said there are beings, ghosts, without physical body. That is only the consciousness, the mind that is wandering around. And he gave the example of intermediate beings. And I asked whether intermediate beings have a subtle body or not, and he said they can do, but not necessarily.
And by subtle body there, you mean what?
Mental body. It's not a gross physical body like ours. It's very subtle. It's not obstructed by our kind of world things.
Yeah,
but you know, like the usual ghost and so
on. Yeah, so a Bardo being's body is a body, but it's said to be a non-obstructed body.
So fit that you can walk through walls, that
kind of stuff. So for the thoughts that come to our mind, or the thoughts that we catch up while they are there, are they following cause and effects, or they just come randomly? I mean, like some people, they suddenly have an idea, and this thoughts, they just come to our mind randomly, or do they also follow some kind of a...
So are they coming out of a previous imprint?
Yeah, or do they follow cause and effect, or are they just...
How do you mean following cause? What's following cause and effect?
Following cause, yeah, I think that's just like what you said. Maybe
must have a cause.
Previous imprints
must have a cause.
myself a cause.
Okay, so if we're saying following cause and effect, then what you're saying by that means this thing has a cause,
right,
and then it arises.
Yeah.
Okay, or do they just arise from nowhere?
Yeah.
Okay. Did we clear up what subtle body was, or do I need to go back to that later? Is it all right? You all right? Okay. Nazo semshayadi samba. Yugurues de kozo yumena yongurues. It definitely needs a cause. The thoughts. Yeah, so thoughts have limitless causes, but definitely they need a cause, whether it's something one's previously heard or seen, and not without a cause. So some of the thoughts come in relationship to this life, what we've seen and heard and so forth or done. Some people, for example, in dreams, things appear, but they're actually things that they've heard or seen or done from a previous life. And so those previous life imprints act as the cause.
Thank you.
Yeah, Shiva, da le. Okay, so we're going to talk about the characteristics of karma. And that's all right. Okay, so you will probably have heard this. So there are four, when we're generally talking about karma, there are four characteristics. Karma is definite. Okay, so I'm sure most of you have heard these four characteristics before, of karma being definite, that if it is not created, we do not meet the result. If we have created the action, the result is not lost, and the quality of increase. So that, but I'm just going to recap it briefly because some people will not be familiar, and for all of us it's good to get to increase our familiarity with these points. Okay, so the first point about karma being definite is that the result of a positive karma and a negative karma is kind of a definite, it definitely concords in that positive karma, virtuous karma, definitely leads to a happy result, and a negative karma definitely leads to a suffering result. So whatever happiness arises for us in this life is definitely a result of a previously accumulated positive action, whether it was in this lifetime or a previous lifetime, its cause would have been a positive action.
But we can't be to be it is very hard to know when we created that karma and which how many years ago and where we created that karma, how they created karma, all these are all these are
very hidden. Very hidden.
We don't know this. We don't know. So these things are we can't guess through
reasoning.
Through reason. When it came to rough.
So that's why when in the text when it talks about karma or action, they say it's a very, very hidden phenomenon. Because it's difficult to know exactly when an action was created or what it was and so forth. So in general, for us, we generate a conviction that through seeing that the kanzo chik ngoshi yana yana sangi yana ngazo yiche. So we can generate a conviction if either two examples, like the Buddha giving an explanation, like having a conviction in the explanation the Buddha gives in terms of causes, or also when if someone has a clairvoyance that allows them to identify what a particular cause was.
I'd like to know if there's somebody that you really love and something or something terrible happens to that person, and the result is that it causes us pain, is that our karma or their karma?
Or both.
Or both, yeah.
So, the bad thing happening to them, so what is your question about the bad thing that happens to them or the pain that we experience?
Well, both. Both,
okay.
Where that karma comes from.
Okay.
What, if anything, the person experienced pain can do to eliminate that karma imprint.
For the other person?
Yeah.
Okay. Nanzo da zangsa nanjin yin yinan zangsa. The Pacho give me Kangel Chembuchuna, Dungel Chembuchuna, Tangatsu Semakibo Yongrua, Dungel Chembuchuna de da Makibo de Sule res, Triwa Tambo de. Yeah, so that. Yeah, so the suffering event for the other person, that is their karma. This isn't the karma of one person. Okay, so Geshe-la said when, for example, that you're concerned for that person, if you are motivated by compassion and you are, you know, upset or in pain on their behalf, whether you would say that is karma or not. Geshe-la's got a doubt.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. But it would be linked to karma, because if you consider like a bodhisattva on the high grounds, when they see the suffering of someone else, they generate compassion towards that being, but they're not mentally distressed, and you know, they're not in pain in that sense. Whereas we, as a beginning practitioner, may have compassion, but also our mind, we are suffering and disturbed. Okay, then a true nibbade, pajog so many de tomogina, pajogi nigidunga metabo de koran le metab le de legi bacha de mewa so to give you, the new tawa so to give you. Yeah, tapshi you. Yeah, so there is. Yeah, pajogi mi che matoba pa ngazo mi ni rogba de de ngazo de le nyunga tan to gro ta
ti sida ta ti le khai gure la so ba ne ma to sira
yeah change the karma so dakta whether you can purify or that come for that person,
yeah,
is a difficult question. This is quite a Yeah. So the first thing is, in if you were talking about in general, that person themselves is responsible for the purification of their karma. It cannot be purified by someone else, because otherwise all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas would have already, on behalf of ourselves, purified our karma.
Okay.
Okay, so that's the general thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but if we done prayer things to them, prayer things to those peoples, and also they have maybe those person also had a relation with us. And then maybe there is a possibility to reduce their karma, or maybe they
change
the karma, ripen positive karma's result.
Yes.
Because I'm just thinking of, like, for example, up at the estate standing on the street, they do blessings for people every day that they eat. You know, when they have the main meal of the day, they do blessings for people. You know, and special times of the year, like New Year, they do ceremonies to, release anything you don't want, and to wish for good things for the year, that kind of stuff. So that, presumably, that must have an effect in purifying, otherwise there'd be no point in them doing that.
Okay, so when you said when they do the meal blessings for people, they have a list of people they make prayers for with the meal?
Yeah, they do. Or just generally. But that's effective, presumably, because they are monks and they have a strong intention
Okay, I'm just going to kind of, again, so that I know what I'm saying, so let's pick the first one of doing prayers in general at the new year. So the monks will do a ceremony at new year with the intention to clear away people's past problems and positive intention. Okay. Then the tegmingi gomba de losala choga mixa tangi yu. Then the kozo drapa yina kibarduis koande. Okay, so hang on. So we have one thing is whether doing that prayer is working in that same way of like changing karma.
Yeah.
That's the first thing.
Yeah.
Second thing is with the monks, does that make a difference? And the third thing being motivation, yeah?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah? It just helps because then we're kind of clear which bits. Okay. Then Jina Chogatawa, de Gishlatan, the Droshi Gyabwanajan, de Le Gyurwa, de Sonam Sawadan, Le Gyurwa, ki Nua Yurwis, de Dikpa Tagi in Sigre Mare. Losa ki Kabdrapa, so de Le Dani ki Midewa de Mewaso Adan Lo de Yabu Yomwa de Geshla Sharon Najan de Drawa Chewa de Le Yabu Yomwa de Le Tagi in Sigamara. So it would be difficult to say when you, if you say the thing like, is this purifying karma? That's very difficult point because there's actually lots of factors that would come into play as to whether that was purified or not by their prayers. Depends on whether they have a connection with that person, how strong the karma was, many factors if you were going to talk about it actually purifying karma. But in general, there's sonam sa segruwa chirtans. But in general, you would say it accumulates merit by doing those things.
Oh.
And then. Yeah, because you could have, by doing that, doing those actions, then the other people are accumulating merit, and through their accumulation of merit, they may purify other karmas. So there are many factors playing in this kind of general puja. And the Choga Dundu Gedumba, Sang Di Kripar Duis. So they would make it again, there would be a difference because the reciters are sangha with the vas, but it still comes back to what kind of karmic connection is they have with the other people, what how strong that is. There are to say exactly this happened and this happened, these things are very difficult. And the third point was motivation. Gulong Kibraduis. The Dunkin Gulong. Yes. Yeah, so then motivation definitely has an important place, both for the motivation of the person reciting, but also the motivation of those people who come and who listen also makes a difference.
And presumably all of that applies to us whenever we, you know, if an animal dies and you say prayers for it as it's dying, all of those factors apply to us in that situation as well.
Okay, yeah, tēnei pēnā, tia pāng, pēnā tūrochik shedu, nāzo sōsōgi mi mūlaṁ gyabdu, te gulong dan le, di ganga kien mambu kibar chēgiruwa.
Hello, teacher. Tanda tu sibu mandu de le mūlaṁ gyabdu sirta, i di le yangyo sāwa, sāya ki kibar chita.
Yes, yes, so all those factors would come into play, and when we make the prayers, the making of the prayers, we are accumulating for new karma, and we will also be purifying previous karma, so lots of things come.
Okay, so I'm curious because a bird hit a window the other day and died in my hands.
Yeah.
And it was a really, really moving experience for me. And I kind of afterwards I reflected and I thought, well, you know, presumably that happened, you know, that bird chose that time potentially to go because it knew, you know, maybe there's a karmic link. And what I'm wondering is there now a karmic link between me and this bird? Because I was there at its time of passing.
Passing. I don't know that you could say that it... Definitely it chose because, but the nimang da kasang, the tuochik gegon la, the dabsong, then moran labanan to do the shesong, then she wake up the moran mulang gabsong, then the mombala moran dang tuogi namshi de kansa de drawa yurwis. Yeah, by making the prayer for that bird, you made a connection.
If you've done a prayer for that bird, already there's a making print.
Huh? Yeah, making print.
Making print for future. And if you've done prayer, then you
so it's an imprint.
Positive karma, you know?
For me, it's not necessarily saying that the bird and I are now going to be linked.
Moran malangyabwa, moran simgi ding la bacha yu, chiwugi namshi bacha yu me.
Chiwugi la bacha shimise shiayi ta, bacha shiayi mevi sotis malve.
Yeah, amcho kugi yina de bacha jagarwa, amcho makona de bacha merwa. So if the bird, getting down to precision, if the bird heard the prayers you made, then that bird would have had an imprint of hearing that. If the prayers were not heard, then there would be no specific imprint.
But didn't we say to make an imprint, it takes the action of the thoughts and intention, but the bird is not the one doing the prayer.
But then she would still hear. If the bird hear, right, you get an imprint.
So there's nothing to do with the thoughts and intention of the bird? The imprint will just come there?
If it's heard. If it's heard, not if it's not heard.
Yeah, but this is... But if it's heard...
If it's heard...
It's actually from another person.
Yeah, okay.
Not the intention, not the bird's one.
Yeah, so...
There's
not the spring to get there. Yeah, no. Tūpa lā bācāk kāndis chākare, sīkūtas kāni, kīu lā gulong mē.
If they can
to hear.
If they hear, maybe their thoughts came. Possible thoughts come and okay. Then maybe makes you know something feeling, you know, and then make a
more imprint. You know.
So the imprint will be both in the person and the bird.
If it's heard. If it's not heard, then it's just the person's imprint. And the it's core, you know, the ganso the hana, you know, the saja wimba, you know, nga kachembo dung, you know, the same change in bala, the ganso kadun dun du, same change in bala, amcho
sha bacha. That's right. There's a silly reminding that when we do the daily prayer,
daily prayer. It's some daily prayer. If you say it loudly, it makes different to other non-human, even they know there's no person here.
Mm.
When they hear it, it makes different.
Right.
So.
Right. But, so for the formless one, they don't have the ear. Within, if we don't speak loudly, some people say they can actually sense, or if we kind of agree the prayer is not loudly, but just quietly, those people can sense that too.
Let's differentiate between quiet, actual spoken sound and non-spoken. Rather than, when Geshe-la says aloud,
right.
he means, you know, that it's actually spoken as opposed to read without speaking.
Oh, right, okay.
Okay, so ka lawa, the ka chambu marina, the lovey, you know, the dundu ka la she, you know, the zukchen mena, the zukchen mena, the koto gurua, the ke chambu magyana.
Ah, sushi my baggy,
The ka chembu gyalgu mai, the love gu, the ka love guru. So just saying it verbally, not necessarily when Geshe-la is saying, I think probably correctly to say aloud as opposed to loudly. When you say it aloud, then non physical beings can hear.
So
they may know.
It doesn't matter how the other beings that we cannot see function.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they may not have ear to actually hear like a bird, but they still will have some sense to hear
okay.
when we say it.
Kozu zukchen mena de kozu nazo dundu zukchen mena so kora kozu ta kozu ancho me yina de koto kuro. Geshe-la said in general the text, he's kind of interested about the point, well, they don't have ears, but in general the text it says non-forms, beings without form would know. Still know what you recite.
Right.
But
it has to be
said. You know, kala love guru, the sozo lo na tsani malawa, the koguma.
Kala love na koguma.
Drama, yeah, dratunguru, drama tunat, kozu koguma. Yeah, so Geshe-la says there can be both. There would be those who would not know if you did not say it aloud, and there would be those that would know even without, even with non-spoken recitation. But also, can I mean, in this room, there's, I don't know, how many million insects will be in this room?
So there's a tradition, the Tibetan tradition, when the Lama they giving the teaching, the Lama motivated even the other non-women is here. And I'm giving teaching to them as well. So, not only
the humans.
Not only the human beings are here. There's a tradition there.
Yeah, and so all the
characteristics of karma.
Alright, so just to kind of. So, for example, all the bugs in the room, if you were reciting, they would all hear and get imprints. You don't know it, you don't see them, but
that's why the
yeah.
is a good place if you're looking at the bugs.
Bangalore. Where was?
That's why the mooring felt good.
All right. Mooring come on down like that. Puss and Mambo. Then come on in by in it. Sentient Mambo to Bachai Chagres. Yes.
I just have a question. I'm not sure whether it fits here, so if it doesn't, I'm happy to move on. But I live with my husband, and he's a very gentle and kind man, and he doesn't often kill insects. Mm. And so we can live harmoniously on that level. However, lately there have been a lot of flies, and he has sent me to you today, Geshe-la, to say, what is he going to do? Because he's waiting for me to say, yes, you can spray them, or yes, you can kill them. But I can't and won't do that. And so if he kills them, is that his karmic imprint, or is that mine for letting it happen and not being staunch enough?
That's a good one.
Geshe-la kienzo, that drama, the fly drama mamuto. Then go caligabos, the Koran, the Geshe-la Shurona, the Garan, the Ko Tanabadu Masewa, in a pe caligabudo. In a Koran, ze sena de Segur Yurva. The Koran, ze bejuchena sena, Korangileres, in a morangile de mache. Simple, moran simple chena koran segmare. Inan de koran ze torna koran le sagres moran le sagres kain moran simple den chech agumare simple machena.
Malabna.
Malabna.
Malabna morat letos moran de le sagmar malabna.
So if he sprays, he definitely has the karma. You're not saying you are not accumulating that karma.
Yeah, but if I say to him, well, okay, you can go ahead and spray, but I'm not spraying, then is that... Is that my karma?
Yes.
Is that I'd be really staunch here.
And the Koran Zumatoba Digdeshas Yinangadi Ze Togamari Lavna, Morangi Leroes.
Morangi Leroes, I did you see that in this case, maybe you are not creating karma, but If you say you do this, I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
Then you say, then you create a karma.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Well,
the Tibetans used to use other people to kill the meat for them.
Pula. Oh, what's a butcher?
A butcher.
The they didn't only use Muslim butchers, they were also Tibetans who were butchers.
Farmer, many nomad people, you know. So they have to kill the sheep, you know. But still, they have to alive for them. For leaf, you know. For it. But still, they do some mantra. They say, "Oh my, they may own or whatever." This is without killing the sheep and the plant.
Survive.
Plant survive. This is very hard, like the hard.
So
they do, but they do it clear.
They have compassion still.
Ninji Kunela.
Like my family. So my father and of course, so they. we have a sheep, you know, sheep, and then we have my father, they kill this sheep because he has to feed us, you know. So that is that situation. So actually they says that if the parents killing things sheep and these things for their children, for their family.
Mm-hmm.
But karma result ripen people who killing, you know, like father, they are not sharing result for the children.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So this is the something sad thing, yeah?
Yeah.
So would it make a difference if Sharon's husband pray for the flies before spray on them?
If you do prayer, that is good. If you do prayer, that's good.
Do the prayer. Fly away.
Well, just for good rebirth, everything.
He doesn't want to do it. So anyone got any tips about how to get rid of flies without killing them?
I can't remember. It's all fly screens.
Yeah.
But this is not masses of flies, but I'll just get a glass.
Take them outside.
Fly, which kind of insects?
Flies.
Just fly.
Nothing else. We don't want to kill anything else. Don't kill spiders or anything else. Just these.
You see, if this spider, you just spider, you just you
glass.
Catch the net, and you take outside. You
don't need to kill. Yeah, yeah.
But some people there's a habit, you know.
Yeah.
It's not good. Mm. It's just spider. You can take outside.
The message is to not a spray because. As well as killing flies. No, I'm just saying, as well as killing flies, what will happen if everywhere gets spray goes? Other insects also.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You see, like spider things better. So what I'm doing in my house, when the spider comes, one, two, three, maybe there's not many, I just take outside, you know, one by one, you know, I would put outside.
Yeah.
Once they come, many spider, then very hard to take everyone, and then maybe tiny spiders there we don't see. So better to take
the four.
Just a few spiders there, you know.
Penny, I have to ask you about ants because you know you're talking about only a few spiders, but ants come by the hundreds.
Yeah, I think about them.
Ants are very drop ants.
And the ma, the new young younger ma, the mumbo younger dog.
Drop ma.
Ants.
Yeah, and it's very, very difficult. Here it is okay. In New Zealand, I didn't see many ants come.
In
India.
Yeah.
There you see the
our
kitchen, you know. Something, you know, food's left there.
Yeah.
Many ants are coming.
Yeah.
Very hard.
What would you suggest?
Or just sometimes we put the yellow
turmeric
or something.
The various solutions for the Buddha thing that we've used: turmeric, chili, white with lemon juice, chili.
What do these things do? Do they
leave
the ants outside or something?
They don't like it, so they don't go.
So where do you put it?
You try and identify where their tracks are. I thought chili would, or wipe with Dettol. You try Dettol. Dettol was one of our...
Chili with Dettol?
No.
Just wipe. Wipe it.
Options. Chili powder would interrupt their tracks. Turmeric interrupt their tracks. Wipe with lemon juice, and one of our best was actually wipe with Dettol, and wipe the whole bench and the whole area at night with Dettol. It breaks up the tracks, and once you've broken the tracks, they stop coming in. When they establish their tracks, and if you see an ant making a track, you need to wipe. to, so that the others don't follow the tracks.
When you see that firsthand.
Yeah, you've got to interrupt the whole process.
One thing I've found works quite well as well is, I hate to say this, if you sacrifice one ant, if you do it before the rest of them come, they don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Stay away.
Right.
Okay.
And I think it's sacrificing one ant to save many.
Maybe we need a
the one, something like Koma Chiksi, you know? Koma Jemba Yonga Mendoz, say this, yeah.
A little
bit. But, you know, limbo ge kowa chili turmeric, you know, dettol the ng de la ze samasua dettol de ganga samasua de kozo lamka imagine you de mewasana kozo yonsa yomendo. If you can interrupt their paths, they don't keep coming.
Now, please,
no. Snails. We've gone snail hunting. Okay, so we were on to we did the first part of karma. So we had three more characteristics.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Question
about the prayer. Two questions. The first one is, we need to eat, so we need to kill animals to feed ourselves.
Yeah.
Does it help to say a prayer before we eat our meal?
Yeah.
And if so, what kind of prayer?
Okay.
First question.
All right. So, Jonanganzu Soksu were the Sentient Segura, the Kalak Gidun, the Sentient Segura. The Kalak Sau, the Sentient Segura Gimsen, Kalak Sau in Mula, Mulangyana Yaboros. Yeah, so before you eat, doing a prayer is good. Mulan kari gamna. They come mulan kari dona yaburet. Yeah, more Quran. Are you talking about a specific kind of food or just general meal? Sha sawing unla. Yeah, so if you, before you eat meat, it is good to kind of make the inner prayer wishing for those beings to attain a good rebirth and be able to do practice, meet the Dharma in practice. Yeah, so thinking that in the future may you give them the generosity of Dharma and so forth.
We're talking about the bird earlier, and we're talking about saying a prayer for the bird.
Yep.
Would it be the same kind of prayer?
Okay. Then, So similar in terms of the making a prayer that they take a good rebirth and meet the Dharma and can practice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually,
there's prayer means before you eat something, your food and tea, or, you know, there's many different prayers. So you pray to Buddha and Bodhisattvas, and request, ask them, we all sentient beings, you know,
Requesting that may all sentient beings quickly generate the realizations of the path and attain liberation and so forth. And yeah, so then there are other prayers that just generally offer the food to the Triple Gem. And the same thing la Trongdu Mani Dungina Yaburwes. Trongdu. Yeah, so reciting Manis, O Mani Padme Hum, at the death of a sentient being is good.
Yeah, O Mani Padme Hum, or, you know, Lord Buddha's mantra or Muni Muni Mahapriya Soha, also Medicine Buddha's mantra. These are very, very
Died. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So, get your sum the pelka. No, but my tiba mula metro. Yeah. So that. Just briefly covering the other characteristics. So if we do not create an action, we do not experience its result. So in this life, whatever we are doing has a connection to what we have done, and there is a karmic connection with what we have done in previous lives. Okay, so an example that might that clear is like when someone, when there's like an accident, say for example a plane crash, and there are some people who die in that situation and some people who don't. So the ones who don't, they have not created the cause to die in that situation. They didn't meet with that result.
And in 1959, when communist Chinese came to Tibet, you know, the Chinese army, they shooting the gun, you know, shooting them. You know, but somehow they can't
kill them. Yeah, so some monks never got hit by the bullets.
Some monks or some people.
Oh, people. Yeah, because they, and so those people who, despite all the gunfire, were not hit by bullets. They did not have the karma to die in that situation. And then if it is, if the action is created, the result is not lost.
Is that the third one?
Yes. Yeah, so what that is saying is that if taking the example of a non-virtuous action, a harmful action, if you didn't apply the opponent powers to purify, then that karmic seed stays there. It's not like an external seed where if you leave some kind of seed in the garden, it may just rot away and disappear. So it's not like that. The seed stays on the mind. Pelka. Le pelcha.
Le pelcha. Le pelcha.
Yeah. So then the fourth one is the quality of increase. And the analogy is like you plant a small seed in the garden and you get a huge tree that comes from that one small seed. That this same kind of factor of increase happens with internal karmic seeds, but it's actually a much bigger factor of increase than even that external seed.
And that's a positive energy.
Ngewa dam, ngewa nikarwa. Yes, same.
Sorry, I don't understand that. What do you mean?
That so the characteristic is increase. So the result will be much bigger than the initial cause. The example to illustrate that is planting a small seed in the garden and you get a huge tree. So a small karmic seed brings a huge result, but it's actually a bigger increase with inner karma than it than we see in the outside world. It's stronger. It's the results are bigger. I mean, from
I mean, I don't understand. If you killed an ant, it'd be a tiny karmic result. If you killed an elephant, it'd be a poor human. It'd be a big result.
You okay.
So if you kill an ant, the result would be the same as if you killed a human being.
Okay, so going through with the yeah. Soju chewa, then a komala soju chewa, then korangi samba, koma segina, dribu chung chung, lambu che sena, the dribu chimbo. Yeah, so between the ant and the elephant, you would say there, you could say there is a lighter and heavier aspect to the karma in a general sense.
But
So this is this when this characteristic isn't relating to that aspect of whether the object is small or great. It's just the general characteristic of increase that in the outside world, if you plant a small seed, you can get a huge tree. The increase quality of inner created karmic seeds is even bigger than that. From a small seed, you can get a very great result.
Is it only working positive karma?
Gewa chikpo pelgi yoroes. Both. Virtue, positive and negative karma.
So that gewa, therefore, you know, even small virtues, that small virtues, we try to
create, yeah, do.
Try to create it as much as we can, and also even small negative karma, better not
create it.
Yeah.
So it applies to both. So therefore, this basic advice, we try and do whatever small virtuous or positive action we can, and try and refrain from even small negative actions.
Oh, so you mean? I think you're trying to say that don't do some small, even a small negative reaction, because the result could sort of escalate.
Yeah.
It's like the neuronic gardener.
Multiply something.
Yeah. It has this quality of multiplication, of increase, whether it's negative or positive. Yeah. Yeah.
Would it be fair to say it's like what we said before? Once you have that, the imprint is there, and so you don't purify it. You will just get familiar to that imprint, so you will just accumulate more things.
Okay.
Close to that, so that's why it becomes a big tree at the end.
That's one reason why it increases. This is the one reason that negative karma, when we don't
purify
it, or then when increase.
Okay, so we should stop. Okay, so we'll do another session on camera another visit.